They're in training. I say that a lot of times when we talk about our young people and talk about they're in training. A lot of people look different. But I've got plans that this church will be here till the Lord comes back. And, you know, it could happen that we need these young people to carry it on and just carry forward with what we've started. And I feel good in letting them come up on the stage and have a good time. Kind of embarrassed them, I think, up in front of the group. But they'll survive through it. But good to have everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody come out. I thought this morning I got up and saw the sun's coming up. And I thought, what a blessing we have that God gave us another day to come out and worship and praise Him together as a church family. You know, it's a good thing. Got special people here today. Got Wanda and got some granddaughters here and a daughter. And good to see all of them. Glad y'all are here with her today. Special day for Wanda. And so we're going to look at the Word of God this morning. I read the Old Testament this week. And I was reading a place about warning people of the wrath of God to come. And, you know, it said, if you warn them, then you're free of the blood. But if you fail to warn them, the blood's on your hand. And I thought about that all week as I went through the week and thought about different situations and opportunities I had to tell people. And I thought there's never any greater time than today that I warn people and tell you about the wrath of God to come. And I do that by telling you that if you're not saved by the blood and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, then, you know, the wrath's to come. So I want to warn you this morning. And I want everybody to listen up. When we leave here today, I could come through and take your names down and say, well, I'm not accountable for them anymore. I'm not accountable for that one anymore because they've heard the Word of God preached under the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And so when we look at this, I want you to understand that we need to tell you, we need to warn you, you need to understand and know that God is coming back one day, the Lord's coming back, and I want everybody to be prepared. Let's look 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For a few minutes, then we're going over to the book of Romans. We're going to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, the blood that sets us free, the blood that frees us from the sin that we're so caught up in this day and time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll start in verse 1. It said, for yourselves, brethren, you know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. And I like this word of God. It said that His word is not in vain. You know, it tells us very plainly that the word of God will accomplish. Therefore, where He sent it, it's going to happen and it's going to take place. In verse 2, it said, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, and were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And, you know, I can associate with this morning and the opportunity and the trust God has placed in me as a pastor, me as a called preacher, to tell you about I'm telling you the best and greatest news you can ever have. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's the only thing you'll ever hear that'll last your lifetime, and we're talking about eternal life. Life forever and ever and ever. You know, I think about this life God has given us, a place that we prepare for the life to come. You know, it's a preparation time that we're going through, that we be prepared that when He calls our number, our name, whatever you might want to say, we'll be prepared and ready to go to the Lord in peace. So He talked about He wasn't trying to please man, but He come to please God. And I can assure you that this morning, all I'm going to tell you is from the Word of God. It's not my idea. It's not what I think you ought to do, but it's what the Word of God tells you ought to do. My ideas and my thoughts won't last. God's word will be eternal. It'll be from now on. In verse 5, it said, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is a witness. So he comes down and, you know, this is Paul, and he say, you know, neither at any time or of others that he said he didn't use. I like these flattering words. And I thought a lot about this all week, you know. Paul had a great education and knew several languages, and he might could have used flattering words to persuade them. I don't have that privilege. I don't have it. I don't have any flattering words. I don't have any special thing to say other than what God says from His Word. And that's what I'm here to tell you this morning. In verse 6, it said, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And so he just very plainly is telling them. He said, I want to deliver this to you. He said, I'm not being accountable to man, but accountable to God. I'm not here to please man. And you know, this message of Jesus Christ actually is not pleasing to mankind much anymore in this day and time. We're in a time when everybody wants to think they're right and their way's right regardless. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not right. And I'll warn you of that today, that you have to have the blood of Jesus applied, forgiveness of sins. You have to believe His crucifixion on the cross that delivers you and gives you eternal life. This, I think, and I thought, is no good. It's according to what God said. When I think about Paul, you know, down there at the church of Thessalonica, and he's warning them and telling them, he's just telling them, said, I've got the truth. God has trusted me to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do this morning, just preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that when you leave here today, I'm free from your problems. If you're not saved, not on my hands, it'll be on you. Look over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Very simple this morning. You know, God made His plan so simple that even the slowest of us can get it. You know, I've thought a lot about that. You know, He made it in such a way that it's not something that you have to study and have a master's degree in anything, but it's so simple even children can believe it. That's God's plan. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, said, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is Paul, you know, and his heart desire and prayer to God is that for Israel, that they might be saved. And I thought a lot about, you know, what he was speaking. He was of Israel, and it was his people. And I thought this morning, what an opportunity I'm going to have. Now, he was praying that Israel be saved. Guess what I'm praying? I'm praying that you'll be saved. That's what I'm praying for, because you're my people. We're not of the stock of Israel. We're Gentiles, but my prayer all week is that somebody would hear the truth, somebody would accept this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that there might be a soul saved. Paul had a great zeal for this. He wanted them to know and understand, and so he was explaining to them the Word of God that they might come to Jesus Christ. Desire. I've saw faces this week, and I could call names this week. I think of people that really need to submit to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that they need to surrender themselves. You know, I've learned that God is the only place you can surrender and win the victory. You know, that's the way it goes. In verse 2, it said, For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And so he's talking about his people, that he's got a desire for them to be saved. He said they have a zeal for God. They know God. But then he put it down the other way. He said, but not according to knowledge. You know, they were stuck under Old Testament stuff. They were stuck under the law of Moses. They were stuck in their belief and doctrines about how God treated. And we're talking about a new age and a new way. The Lord Jesus Christ brought change. I'm talking about He brought a change. We're no longer bound under the Old Testament. We're no longer bound under the law. But we've got the freedom of grace. And that's what Paul was trying to bring down to the Romans and trying to get them to understand. He said, you've got a zeal for God, but not by knowledge. They were wrong. They were misunderstanding. And God wanted them to be surely and knowing that Jesus Christ was sent for a Savior for the world. In verse 3, it said, For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul said they've got a problem. They know God, but they hadn't received Jesus. He said they've got a problem. He said they're not knowing according to knowledge. that God gives to everybody about the grace that had taken place and the grace that had come in. They were no longer under the wall, law. They were no longer under this New Testament code. And it talks about them being ignorant of God's righteousness. Anybody here that's got righteousness, guess what? It came from God. It's not something you did. It's not something you accomplished in your life, but any righteousness that you had came from God. And that's what Paul was trying to preach down here at the church at Rome. He said, not according to your righteousness, but the righteousness of God you hadn't believed. That's the way you get saved. That's the way you believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you know that the righteousness of not of your works, not of what you've done or what you might do, but it's righteousness from God. You got it? It came from God. He said, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, we're told in Scripture that our works are as filthy rags. You know, they're not worth much, are they? Our works. And he's talking to them down at the church at Rome, and he wants them to know and understand. In verse 4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So where did it stop? With Christ. Christ is the end of it. Christ is the end of this. He said, end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. No longer do we have to be righteous under a law, but we're righteous by the grace of God and belief on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul had a problem. His people, the ones he loved, weren't saved. And he's trying to preach to them no longer the law, but the grace of God. And you know, I can feel where he was at this morning, because I'm preaching to a people that I love. Most of you. Well, I got up in a good mood this morning. Amen. And I thought about how he was talking about, okay, he's accountable. I'm not only accountable this morning, but I'm privileged to stand and tell you about Jesus Christ, my Savior, the Savior of the world, the one God chose to pay the sin debt for the whole world. Your sin debt's paid. All you got to do is accept it. Over in verse 9, it said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that really hard for anybody to understand this day and time? That's the word of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. That's the word of God for you to have the promise of eternal life. Boy, isn't that great? Isn't that simple? Aren't we glad that God dumbed this down for us that a little bit slow? That we can understand that. And here's Paul. He's preaching to them down at Rome. He's giving them this word of God and talking to them about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he talks about, raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to believe that Jesus is alive. I believe he was crucified. I believe he died. I believe he lay in a tomb. But praise God, I believe he got up. Don't y'all? I believe he got up. I believe today he's at the right hand of the Father, and he will remain and continue there until he comes back to this earth for his own. He said, I'll come back one day and claim what's mine. I like that, don't y'all? Because it means if we're a believer, he's coming for us. In verse 10 gives a little explanation. It said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, I believe there's such a thing. You can have mind faith, mind believing, but this is talking about your heart. You need to get God out of your head and into your heart. That's what needs to happen, that we're true believers. It's one thing to say I believe, and it's another to truly believe. But God is sending this word to us today that we can have the promise of eternal life. This life you're spending right now is just preparation time for you to get prepared to meet the Lord for an eternity. Guess what? There's another option. You could meet the devil for an eternity. You know, we have to tell both sides of it. I'm here to tell you the truth. I can tell you all the good, But I want to tell you the bad side too. And you make the choice. I can't choose for you. In verse 12, it said, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." So it's not divided up. It's not about who you are, what you are, where you came from. It said everything's the same. And when he talked about this in verse 13, if it said very plain, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I don't care if you do it at one of these altars. I don't care if you do it in your car. I don't care if you do it right there on that bench where you're sitting. But I'm urging you, and my desire for you is that you'd believe on the name of the Lord and be saved. And we're talking about for a lifetime. We're talking about eternity that'll never end. This life's short. You know, our promise from God's 70. That's just 70 years. That's the promise. And anybody here over that age, you're on grace. Praise the Lord. We've got a lot of graceful people around here, haven't we? A lot of people on grace, and that's the way it is. After 70, the promise is over. Then you go on grace. It's good to be on grace, isn't it? Thank God for grace. Verse 14, it said, "Then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, you know, you may get the gospel in a lot of different ways, but God's plan is that I preach the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit right here from the pulpit. And you've heard this morning the plan of salvation. You've heard about the Son of God named Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. And so you've heard this. And so from now on, you've got no excuse. You can say, "Well, I slept through it." I don't see anybody asleep. If I did, I'd try to wake you up. But anyway, this is what it is. In verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I'm telling you, I'm not taking any credit. I'm giving credit to God. Now, I'll agree, how shall they preach except they be sent? I believe the Lord sent me here to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ to you who are sitting in this church today. How shall they preach unless they be sent? There's a calling of God to preach this gospel. I feel not only the obligation, but as I said, the privilege this morning that I can share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ about what God did for your sakes. God could call all your names. I don't know what I could call everybody's name here this morning. Some mornings I can. Probably not this morning, but God can call everybody's name here. He can tell you your age, everybody here, tell you how many hairs on top of your head. And for, you know, some of us that's a big task, and others it wouldn't be too hard. But when we look around, in verse 16 it said, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as I said, Lord, who hath believed our report?" For all have not obeyed the gospel. God's calling for obedience, that you obey the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for your sins and forgiveness, for your promise of eternal life. God's got a plan for us. Let's look over one other scripture and I'll close in Corinthians or Colossians. Let's go to Colossians first. Colossians chapter 1, I'll start in verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I read this verse last night and I got kind of excited. You know, we start talking about inheritances. You know, and that's a big thing when a lot of times people think, "Well, I'm going to inherit what my parents have had, or I'm going to inherit this, or I'm going to inherit that." I'm going to tell you, God's offered you a new inheritance this morning. You can inherit something that belongs to God. Now, you think about inheritance. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I hope I inherit this and that." You know, I don't know. I'm going to try to spend my money before I leave. Amen. Jake and Jamie can make their own. They're healthy. I'm going to have a good time out of mine every time I get out on a trip or something. I'm going to call them and say, I'm spending your inheritance. I'm serious. I'm telling the truth. They're okay. They're going to be fine. But when I thought about this inheritance, you know, if I walked in here this morning and told you, you're going to inherit $100,000, y'all would be up on the floor shouting and praising God. Oh, praise the Lord, I've got an inheritance. I'm telling you, you got something worth more than that. You got something worth millions. Inheritance of eternal life. What's that worth to you? Amen. Think about this inheritance. Somebody could get a new inheritance this morning. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now there are a lot of us good old boys sitting around here that I knew you life before you got saved. I knew some of them from school. I've known some of you through other situations. And I'm going to tell you that ought to bring people to their feet shouting glory to God that he forgave us. What did he do? That he had delivered us from the power of darkness. I remember that day of being delivered, don't y'all? I got out on the ground and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and got up a new creature. Old things passed away. All things will come new. And I got an inheritance of eternal life. Now I'm preaching, you can get a new inheritance. You think about inheritance. That's like I said. Somebody said, oh, you've inherited some money. You've inherited some property. You've inherited this. I'm going to tell you, you can inherit eternal life according to the Word of God. In verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. No other way. Notice it. It said, have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I didn't have to shed my blood for my sins. Jesus did it on the cross. Jesus shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And it talks about we have redemption through that, even the forgiveness of sins. And then it said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Firstborn of every creature. He was first. And then we look, it said, for by Him were all things created in heaven that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Notice verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have preeminence. And so we come into the fact that we not only inherit a promise of eternal life, we get an inheritance from that. We get forgiveness for our sin because the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And then down on the bottom it said, and He is the head of the body, the church. Who's head of this church at New Salem Baptist Church? Jesus. Jesus is the head of this church. That's who it is. I've heard a lot of times they call some preacher's name and say his church. I don't have a church. I'm just part of Jesus' church. Amen. Now, I'm privileged to get to hang out here, but I want to tell you, this church is, Jesus is the head of it. We're the body. Would you like to have an inheritance this morning? Anybody would like to have an inheritance this morning? You can get one. Worth more than anything else you could inherit. Eternal life. You know something else you inherit? Peace. Joy. You know, peace is a big thing in this life. Joy is a big thing in this life. You can inherit all that by becoming that new creature. Let's have a verse for song, Chris and Glenda and Glenda. Glenda, Glenda, Chris. Y'all stand. You think about what I preached to you. You know, I want to be absolute with this. You know, God sometimes gives second and third chances. And I'm thankful for that. It's been on third round when I believed Him. But wouldn't it be a great thing to believe Him today when He's dealing with you and calling you? If you're not saved by the grace of God, this may be your day. God may call again. He may not. I don't give guarantees in that. But you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. There's no excuse. And whether you do or whether you don't, I'm going to be free from it. Let's sing. believe that's sufficient. I didn't see anybody moving, and I know the Spirit of God's been moving in here all morning. So if you didn't comply, if you didn't submit, I hope God gives you another chance. That's between you and the Lord, not between me and you anymore. But thank God for everybody coming this way. Good to see everybody. Pray for our church. We got some folks that's sick and not able to attend right now. Ruth's down with a shoulder surgery, but the last I heard, she's recuperating and doing better. I'm sure she'll get over this. I was told up there that she's a tough old bird. That wasn't my words. I didn't call her that, but that's what I heard her referred to as. So, but if you mention that, tell her I didn't say it.